You know, one of the nice things about having the opportunity to preach on these stories that I have literally heard all my life is that as I hear them and read them and prepare again and again and again and again, I will frequently hear things that I didn't hear before. I have known this story all of my life. And as I was preparing for this particular sermon, I recognized something that I'd never seen before. Maybe you had seen it. In the boat with Jesus are his closest disciples. Now, they're on the sea. They are in a storm. Four of these people, at least, made their living fishing before they started following Jesus. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we know, were fishermen who are supposed to know about boats and the sea and the storm. And when a storm comes up, what do? They wake up a builder turned rabbi to help them deal with a storm on the sea. Isn't that funny? But you see, while they knew about the sea and they knew about storms, Jesus knew about God. So they made the right choice. Jesus asked them the question, "Why were you afraid?" It seems like a nonsensical question. In a storm like that, on a sea and a boat, who wouldn't be afraid? But Jesus constantly does that. He constantly either asks, "Why are you afraid?" or keeps saying, "Don't be afraid," when everybody knows there's plenty to be afraid of. Storms are nothing to fool with. When you look at what happened to Jesus, you know that the power of the Roman Empire is nothing to fool with. It may be, however, that the reason Jesus focuses on trying to get rid of our fear is that fear can work on us in some very unhelpful ways. First of all, fear can paralyze us. Have you ever felt paralyzed with fear? Occasionally, I'll have a bad dream, and in the dream, I'm so afraid I can't move and I can't speak. Now, there are those in my family who think that that can't speak thing is probably a good thing. But it is so frightening, I am literally paralyzed with fear. On the other hand, fear can also create irrational hostilities toward the people that we fear or whatever we fear. Look at how we respond to the Ebola virus. We've had, I think, three persons in North America who have contracted that. I wonder how many people have died just this week from obesity, addictions to alcohol and drugs, tobacco. And yet we're not afraid of those. Isn't it interesting the way we are sometimes made to be afraid of certain things and certain people? One of the most likely crowds to be afraid of in this day and time, in this culture, are those who practice the religion of Islam. While there are a few folks who are people you probably should be afraid of who practice Islam, there are also quite a number of folks in the Christian tradition are folks who you should be afraid of. I've met some of them. Isn't it interesting how that, however, can cultivate an irrational fear? I found a poem a while back, and it's written from the perspective of a teacher who in the classroom has a number of children from a variety of backgrounds, and they're talking about what they're afraid of. It begins like this. "We are discussing the root of things, how phobia means fear of, and we make them up. Book-a-phobia, classroom-a-phobia, girl-a-phobia. I say there'll be a quiz." They laugh. It is evening in a small room in Queens where the desks are miniatures of the things they should be and the children sitting in them too close to me and my coffee so soon gone. And they start listing the things they're afraid of. And one young lady says, the people who hate me for my name. That's what she's afraid of. This is the same girl who taught her teacher how to count from 1 to 10 in Arabic. The poem ends this way. I do not know what to teach anymore. Graphophobia, philophobia, fear of writing, fear of love, all these children who do not have a name for their sorrow. At night in bed, I turn her name, the student's name, for the 100th time and find its beauty, the soft grace of wanting to be held. A child, scared, moving in dark from room to room to find the mother who named her, the father too, and their reasons why. Fear can be a great motivator. We all know that, don't we? I mean, just look at the campaigns that are going on now and the kind of literature I'm sure you all receive and the kinds of emails I'm sure some of you receive and maybe even phone calls that you receive, specifically to cultivate fear, to try to motivate you to do something. A friend of mine, a number of years ago, was serving in a church. He was pretty new to the church. It came time for the stewardship campaign this time of year, so he was looking for someone to help, and the person who was suggested to him was a very experienced person in raising money, but the money this person raised was primarily for political campaigns and political operatives. So they sat down to talk, and the individual said that he was willing to help. He said, but I need you to tell me something. He said, who do we hate? And my friend said, what? He said, who do we hate? Tell me who we hate. I can raise you all the money you need, more. He said, we don't hate anybody. We're Christians. Come on. He said, okay, tell me, who are you afraid of? I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, if you don't hate somebody, you're surely afraid of somebody. If you tell me who you're afraid of, I can still make you a lot of money. He said, Jesus tells us not to be afraid. And the person who was being interviewed said, well, you know, if there's nobody to hate and nobody to fear, I'm not sure how you raise money. And my friend said, I'm not sure that you're the right person to be doing it. Fortunately, we understand here that that is not the way you raise money. The question is not and cannot be, who do you fear or who do you hate? Not for us, not for this community. The question is, who do you love? Who do you trust? Or perhaps the prior question is, who loved you first? We know that, don't we? We know that already. You had parents or grandparents. You had some of you Sunday school teachers in this very congregation. Pastors in this very congregation who have loved you. But even before that, God loved each and every one of us. And that love is a perfect love. And as the first letter of John says, perfect love drives out fear. So as we approach our lives and all the gifts we've been given, one of those gifts is not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and the ability to trust in the one who can still the storm, the one who can stand in the face of Pontius Pilate, the representative of the most powerful empire in the world, and quietly and calmly confront him, knowing that in doing so, he'll be condemning himself to death. Saying, you know, if I had a kingdom that was like your kingdom, I could call down armies. But the kingdom that I lead is not at all like the Roman Empire or the American Empire or any other empire. It's a kingdom of love and a kingdom of trust. We have inherited a place to be. It's one of the reasons we're trying to take care of it, right? We have inherited this place to be because the people here did not have a spirit of fear. Don't you know when that other end was built and finished, when the educational wing was completed, and they got into it on the Sunday just before the Tuesday the stock market fell in 1929, some folks were afraid that this would never be built, that we would not be sitting here today? Don't you know that was the fear? But our forebears did not have a spirit of fear. They had a spirit of trust. They had a spirit of love. And here we are. Oh, it took them 10 years or more to do it. It took some great sacrifices to do it. Wedding rings put in the collection plate to do it. But it gave us a place to be. But a place to be is not enough. We also inherited a way to serve, a way to take what we learn here, what we experience, the love that we have here from the presence of God and the presence of each other, and carry that out into the places where people feel unloved. Carry that into the halls of power where policies are made that shut people out and make them feel unloved. So we've received these two things. We've received a place to be, and we've received a way to serve. What we have not received is someone to hate or someone to fear. Instead, we have been given a spirit of trust, a spirit of love. We know who walks with us, and a perfect love that, believe me, can drive out all fear. Thanks be to God.